7. White London. Oshka stood beneath the trees, wiping the blood from her knives. She'd spent the morning patrolling the streets of Kosik, her old stomping ground, where trouble still flared like fire through dry fields. Holland said it was to be expected, that change would always bring unrest, but Oshka was less forgiving. Her blades found the throats of traitors and disbelievers, silencing their dissent one voice at a time. They didn't deserve to be a part of this new world. Oshka holstered the weapons and breathed deeply. The castle grounds, once littered with statues, were now filled with trees, each blossoming despite the winter chill. For as long as Oshka could remember, her world had smelled like ash and blood. But now it smelled of fresh air and fallen leaves, of forests and raging fires, of life and death, of sweet and damp and clean, of promise, of change, of power. Her hand drifted to the nearest tree, and when she placed her palm flat against the trunk, she could feel a pulse. She didn't know if it was hers or the king's or the tree's. Holland had told her that it was the pulse of the world, that when magic behaved the way it should, it belonged to no one and everyone, nothing and everything. It was a shared thing. Oshka didn't understand that, but she wanted to. The bark was rough, and when she chipped away a piece with her nail, she was surprised to see the wood beneath mottled with the silver threads of spell work. A bird cawed overhead, and Oshka drew nearer, but before she could examine the tree, she felt the pulse of heat behind her eye, the king's voice humming through her head, resonant and welcome. "Come to me," he said. Oshka's hand fell away from the tree. She was surprised to find her king alone. Holland was sitting forward on his throne, elbows on knees and head bowed over a silver bowl, its surface brimming with twisting smoke. She held her breath when she realized he was in the middle of a spell. The king's hands were raised to either side of the bowl, his face a mask of concentration. His mouth was a firm line, but shadows wove through both of his eyes, coiling through the black of the left one before overtaking the green of the right. The shadows were alive, snaking through his sight as the smoke did in the bowl, where it coiled around something she couldn't see. Lines of light traced themselves like lightning through the darkness, and Oshka's skin prickled with the strength of the magic before the spell finished. The air around her shivered, and everything went still. The king's hands fell away from the bowl, but several long moments passed before the living darkness retreated from the king's right eye, leaving a vivid emerald in its wake. "Your Majesty," said Oshka carefully. He did not look up. "Holland." At that, his head rose. For an instant his two-toned gaze was still strangely empty, his focus far away, and then it sharpened, and she felt the weight of his attention settle on her. "Oshka," he said, in his smooth, reverberating way. "You summoned me."
"I did."
He stood and gestured to the floor beside the dais. That was when she saw the bodies. There were two of them, swept aside like dirt, and to be fair, they looked less like corpses than like crumbling piles of ash, flesh withered black on bone frames, bodies contorted as if in pain, what was left of hands raised to what was left of throats. One looked much worse than the other. She didn't know what had happened to them, wasn't sure she wanted to know, and yet she felt compelled to ask. The questions tumbled out, her voice tearing the quiet.
"Calculations," answered the king, almost to himself. "I was mistaken. I thought the collar was too strong, but it is not. The people were just too weak. Dread spread through Oshka like a chill as her attention returned to the silver bowl. Kola? Holland reached inside the bowl. For an instant, something in him seemed to recoil, resist the motion, but the king persisted. And as he did, shadow spilled over his skin, up his fingers, his hands, his wrists, becoming a pair of black gloves, smooth and strong, their surfaces subtly patterned with spell work. Protection from whatever waited in the dark. From the depths of the silver bowl, the king withdrew a circlet of dark metal, hinged on one side, symbols etched and glowing on its surface. Oshka tried to read the markings, but her vision kept slipping, unable to find purchase. The space inside the circlet seemed to swallow light, energy, the air within turning pale and colorless and as thin as paper. There was something wrong with the metal collar, wrong in a way that bent the world around it, and that wrongness plucked at Oshka's senses, made her feel dizzy and ill. Holland turned the circlet over in his gloved hands as if inspecting a piece of craftsmanship. "It must be strong enough," he said. Oshka braved a step forward. "You summoned me," she repeated, her attention flicking from the corpses to the king.
"Yes," he said, looking up. "I need to know if it works."
Fear prickled through her. The old instinctual bite of panic, but she held her ground.
"Your Majesty,
do you trust me?"
Oshka tensed. Trust. Trust was a hard won thing in a world like theirs, a world where people starved for magic and killed for power. Oshka had stayed alive so long by blade and trick and bald distrust. And it was true that things were changing now because of Holland, but fear and caution still whispered warnings.
Oshka.
He considered her levelly, with eyes of emerald and ink.
"I trust you," she said,
forcing the words out, making them real before they could climb back down her throat.
"Then come here."
Holland held up the collar as if it were a crown, and Oshka felt herself recoil. No. She had earned this place beside him. She had earned her power. Been strong enough to survive the transfer, the test. She had proven herself worthy. Beneath her skin, the magic tapped out its strong and steady beat. She wasn't ready to let go, to relinquish the power and return to being an ordinary cutthroat. Or worse, she thought, glancing at the bodies.
"Come here."
This time the command rang through her head, pulled on muscle, bone, magic. Oshka's feet moved forward, one step, two, three, until she was standing right before the king. Her king. He had given her so much, and he had yet to claim his price. No boon came without a cost. She would have paid him indeed, in blood. If this was the cost, whatever this was, then so be it. Holland lowered the collar. His hands were so sure, his eyes so steady. She should have bowed her head, but instead she held his gaze, and there she found balance, found calm. There she felt safe. And then the metal closed around her throat. The first thing she felt was the sharp cold of metal on skin. Surprise, but not pain. Then the cold sharpened into a knife. It slid under her skin, tore her open, magic spilling like blood from the wounds. Oshka gasped and staggered to her knees as ice shot through her head and down into her chest, frozen spikes splaying out through muscle and flesh, bone and marrow. Cold, gnawing and rending, and then gone. And in its wake, nothing. Oshka doubled over, fingers clamped uselessly around the metal collar as she let out an animal groan. The world looked wrong, pale and thin and empty, and she felt severed from it, from herself, from her king. It was like losing a limb. None of the pain, but all of the wrongness. A vital piece of her cut away so fast she could feel the space where it had been, where it should be. And then she realized what it was. The loss of a sense, like sight or sound or touch. Magic. She couldn't feel its hum, couldn't feel its strength. It had been everywhere, a constant presence from her bones to the air around her body, and it was suddenly, horribly, gone. The veins on her hands were beginning to lighten, from black to pale blue, and in the reflection of the polished stone floor, she could see the dark emblem of the king's mark retreating across her brow and cheek, and withdrawing until it was nothing but a smudge in the center of her yellow eyes. Oshka had always had a temper, quick to flame, her power surging with her mood. But now, as panic and fear tore through her, nothing rose to match it. She couldn't stop shaking, couldn't drag herself from the shock and terror and fear. She was weak, empty, flesh and blood and nothing more. And it was terrible. "Please," she whispered to the throne room floor, while Holland stood over her watching. "Please, my king, I have always been loyal. I will always be loyal. Please." Holland knelt before her and took her chin in his gloved hand, guiding it gently up. She could see the magic swirling in his eyes, but she couldn't feel it in his touch.
"Tell me," he said, "what do you feel?"
The words escaped in a shudder.
I can't feel anything.
The king smiled grimly then.
"Please,"
whispered Oshka, hating the word.
"You chose me."
The king's thumb brushed her chin.
"I chose you,"
he said, his fingers slipping down her throat.
"And I still do."
An instant later, the collar was gone. Oshka gasped, magic flooding back like air into starved veins. A welcome pain, bright and vivid and alive. She tipped her head against the cold stone.
"Thank you,"
she whispered, watching the mark trace its way through her eye, across her brow and cheek.
"Thank you."
It took her several long seconds to get to her feet, but she forced herself up as Holland returned the horrible collar to its silver bowl, the gloves melting from his fingers into shadow around the metal.
"Your Majesty,"
said Oshka, hating the quiver in her voice.
"Who is the collar for?"
Holland brought his fingers to his heart, his expression unreadable.
"An old friend."
"If that is for a friend," she thought.
"What does Holland do to enemies?"
"Go,"
he said, returning to his throne.
"Recover your strength. You're going to need it."